Hey guys, so we got some news. We will no longer be posting our full-length podcast here on the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, wherever you're listening to this right now. Instead, we're going to be posting the first half hour of the episodes here for you guys to listen to. But the full version will be available on either our YouTube channel for free. Yes, you can still watch and listen for free on the YouTube app. Or you can join our brand new Patreon and spend $10 a month to get the full episodes before they're posted on YouTube, free of ads. You can listen to the audio on the Patreon app, or you can actually get a link from the Patreon app and add the link to the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, wherever you're listening, and listen to our stuff through the same app that you're using right now. In terms of why we're making this decision, we are expanding the business a lot right now, and it just doesn't really make any sense for us to keep giving away this content for free to services like Spotify, who are making money off of our content without giving us anything in return. So by either listening to our content on YouTube for free and watching the ads, or paying the 10 bucks a month to listen via Patreon, you're helping us take No Jumper to the next level. Enjoy this episode. Brick Baby Shit Show in the building.
What's going on, man?
How you feeling?
Oh, man. Should I put on these headphones? I'm feeling great, though.
If you want to, you can, but it's all good either way.
Yeah, I'm feeling great. You know, just sitting here fresh out this motherfucker, man. You know, trying to turn back up.
Hell yeah. It's good to have you in here, man. Fucking, I guess I'll just say I became a fan of your music probably 2013, 2014. You were going crazy. And I felt like your career kind of got stopped short at some point. Like, you just kind of, like, legal problems got in the way and shit, and you weren't really able to turn up the way that you were my, like, first round draft pick for a while there. I was like, this dude's about to blow.
Man, that's like that one foot in, one foot out life. Like, I was out here still in the streets, but I was rapping, but I didn't really, like, now that the streaming shit's going on, it's like, oh, it's a whole nother bag out there. But I was trapping, rapping, and still trying to be known, but I'm still doing all the street shit. So I was really on the run for like 2 years. So that project, I was supposed to Nasty Dealer too. I was right. Supposed to get a big bag for that project. I had Chris Brown, Gucci Man,
right.
I had Ty, I had Dirk on there, I had everybody on there, and then I wasn't able to go travel and do all the stuff that I needed to do. So
really,
yeah. Legal problems, man, so.
I feel it.
Nah, that guy.
Wait, so, okay, give us a little bit of rundown of exactly where you're from and where you grew up in and around L.A. and shit.
Well, you know, it's Brick Baby, but they know me as Shitty. You know what I'm saying?
Shitty.
That's my name. I'm Lil Shitty, not the other Shitty, man, but I'm the real Shitty, man. You know what I'm saying? From rolling 60s, I'm out the 60s.
Right.
Out there in L.A., South Central, so.
The other Shitty that you're referring to, when I first heard about all that, which we can get to at some point, that was kind of my reaction. It's like, damn, all right, there's a bunch of people named Shitty from out that area.
Yeah, man, yeah. That's actually one of my little homies, but I really don't want to talk too much about it, but we could touch on there, but
right.
I ain't doing no interviews about the Nip shit.
I feel you.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay, but so, yeah, early on, you coming up, like, where were you born and raised around L.A.?
I'm right here. All right, so, look, I'm right from out of, like, South Central. So I grew up, like, in, like, on Slauson and Crenshaw, but I also grew up on Adams and, like, Crenshaw and Adams, Crenshaw and Jefferson. So I'm a product of both, but it's both two crip hoods. I'm out the 60s. But I went out to Atlanta when I was 17, and I was fucking with Big Meech and them.
Really?
Yeah, I had just got out of juvenile hall, and my mama wanted me to get up out of there, but I was playing basketball, so I went to Clark Atlanta University.
Wow.
And I was out there fucking with Meech and all them niggas, and then...
How'd you get tapped in with them right away when you went out there to play basketball?
Well, my cousin and my sister used to... They boyfriends was from BMF at the time.
Oh, okay.
So as soon as I got out there, they like, little nigga, stay out the streets. Ooh, you know how that shit go.
Right.
So, yeah.
But, okay, you get out there... How did you get introduced to BMF, and did they wanted you to stay out of trouble as well?
Yeah, they was trying to get me to stay out of trouble because I was, you know, we from L.A. We don't do all that hustling shit. We ain't no trap babies. We out here running and gunning. You know, we flock and shit like that, but we gangbanging. So I'm going out there with that mentality. Like, I got to rob somebody. I got to, you know what I'm saying? I'm fresh out of juvenile hall, but I'm going to college, so I'm trying to play the role as a college student. They like, man, look, you know. It's the game right here. They was putting me down with the hustling and all that shit.
Right. Because, yeah. I mean, I talk to people all the time. I had Scrappy in here yesterday, and he was talking about when he was coming up and BMF and how he's like, nobody ever did it like that before or after.
Hell,
might never happen again.
It won't happen again. It was surprising that shit lasted for that long. So many people that you could trust, like people you could trust and all that shit.
She's just taking a picture.
But what was I talking about? We were talking about
just the BMF shit and you going out there.
Oh no, so I was surprised that it lasted so long because I ain't never seen that many people. I'm from a hood where, man, we kill each other and all that. Mm. So it's like I've never seen that many people making money in one place, not wanting to rob each other, not wanting to kill each other, shit like that. You know what I'm saying? That took a special group of people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can't say that didn't nobody snitch because that's how everything came apart. But it was a strong movement and it was positive.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He was paying kids at tuition to private school, shit like that. He was doing some cool shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, when your shit gets that big, you kind of got to start going in that direction.
Yeah, just
a little
like
bit,
how
right?
El Chapo is.
That's
where
what
he
I was
from.
Thinking
you
of.
See
yeah,
how El Chapo, he take care of it. So they couldn't even get nobody to snitch on El Chapo. That's when you a good person like that, you know?
Yeah, you always hear that about the cartels and shit that they just like will actually help out in the community so that the community has a hard time saying, like, oh, they're all bad when they're doing good things as
this
well with some of that money.
The church and all type of shit down there. El Chapo, you go.
For sure. But did you start to get into some crazy shit out in Atlanta? Because I feel like you're the type of person who's probably going to have a hard time keeping your nose clean.
Well, I caught a case on campus at like 17. I just turned 18, matter of fact, and I got caught with like 35 pounds of weed.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and the male girl told on me. I ain't gonna say her name. She famous too. She an actor.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Wow, okay.
She told on
me. She told on you for no reason?
I mean, I got it mailed to her house. So.
Oh, okay.
I got it mailed to her dorm room, so you know how that shit go.
Oh, man.
But, so I really started, like, the Crip shit, like, out there. Like, I was the first one. I ain't going to say I started it. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I was the first one out there banging 60s. Me and Longway, that's my brother-in-law.
Right.
Pee-wee Longway.
That's how you met him?
So we started MPA together. Yeah. So I came down there when I got kicked out of school. I'm like, damn, am I going to move back home? So I'm back and forth from out there. And Pee-wee had just got out the pen in, like, 07, too.
And this is, like, before people knew Pee-wee as a rapper, right?
Yeah, we wasn't rapping at all.
Okay.
The only person rapping that we had over there was Thug.
Mm.
It was Thug and Duke. We was managing Thug, Duke, and Wicked at the time, and we was paying like Done Deal to make the beats and shit. This was like 08.
And this is Thug super, super raw. Like nobody really knows about him
yet.
Nobody
know who Thug is. That's like Pee Wee little cousin though.
Really?
Yeah, so it's like a family. Like that shit was like a family, and then everything just start turning up. Like I went to jail. Well, I met Pee Wee, we start going like no L.A., like, all the people in Atlanta know, like, nobody from L.A. comes to Atlanta and then goes to Zone 3 or go. I went straight to the hood. Like, after I got kicked out of school, I'm like, shit, only place I'm comfortable is shit like this. That's why I be feeling dark when he say the trenches where I feel the safest.
Mm.
Like, I ain't finna be in Buckhead, and I came from some shit like, you know what I'm saying, Bankhead. So I'm down there in Bankhead. We going to the clubs. I'm living in the projects with Pee-wee. And, we doing our thing, and everybody starts seeing. I start flying like my little homies down there. They start seeing the movement, and they just start gaining and gaining and gaining. So that's how MPA really like got our stamp. We like the big homies of Atlanta,
wow.
And I'm from LA.
That's
you know what I'm
sure.
saying? But like, yeah, me and Pee Wee, we really started that whole blue movement. Everybody was Bloods. Like that's why everybody wanted to be like Lil Wayne. Like I went down there around Hurricane Katrina time.
Uh huh. But it wasn't any kind of conflict because you got Thug out here as a Blood, and then you guys are Crips out there?
That's Lil Bro. That's why every time you see Thug, he on Slossy.
Mm.
Or he doing some shit like, you know what I'm saying? He don't really... I told Thug, like, man, he didn't ever want to switch no way. But I told him, like, man, I'm going to just introduce you to some powerful Bloods, bro. You know what I'm saying? You don't got to get with this movement. Just stay doing what you doing. You don't want nobody say you hood hopping and all that.
Yeah.
He wasn't ever thinking about it, though. I ain't saying it like that, but... You know what I'm saying? So I start showing him the game with what's going on the West Coast, too.
Right.
You know, I took him in front of Nip in, like, 09 and told him to work with him. And Nip was, like, iffy. Thug was slime then. He was real. He was real, like, you know what I'm saying? He was out here robbing shit, doing all, you know,
really?
Regular hood shit. So.
And, I mean, when Thug was coming out, like, his style was so different, so unique. And, like, I could understand probably a lot of people would have heard it and – thought it was
they
good.
Like, oh, he's a Wayne. He's trying to be like Lil Wayne. I'm like, in a sense, but he going crazier than Wayne. You got to listen to him. And then nobody, like, we were like the first believers of Thug.
Did Thug kind of motivate you and Pee Wee to start rapping in a way?
That's exactly how it happened.
Really?
You know, we getting high when that Molly came out. When that Molly came out, that's when I became a rapper. When Molly hit the streets, I used to get high and be in the studio, listen to them, like, fuck it. And that's where my style come from. You know, I really like, he from L.A., but he sound like he from down there.
Right.
I ain't start rapping out here. You know what I'm saying? I knew, like, I always played around when we was younger and, like, was playing, you know what I'm saying? Like, freestyling, I'd get off of Thizzle and start, you know what I'm saying? Like, back when Thizzle was hot.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I was doing shit like that, but I just started rapping when that Molly came out. It gave a nigga a whole new.
See, that's one thing I was thinking about you when I was going back to all that shit. I was like, bro, people don't talk about doing this many drugs as Brick Six Baby was drugs. Talking
I'm
about.
I'm the first. I like... I'm the source, bro. You know what I'm saying? My little homie gave me that shit. Free Boogie Down. Free RS. My little homie gave me that name when I came home. Like, bro, you the source. You know, you really... Motherfuckers come to you for everything. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you really where they get this shit from.
Right.
I've been sipping lean since 06. Since 06. I was buying pints for like 120. Activists.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? The old people just like, what is that? Man, let me get that. 120.
Good old days.
I was setting the prices. I was selling $20 lines and doing shit like that. You feel me?
Wow.
Way back then. Even in Atlanta, they going to tell you. I was telling them, like, man, that's high tech. That's red. That ain't activist. They getting eights. Like, man, this act. Like, nah.
Right.
That's lean, though. But it ain't.
Did you feel like it was normal to be doing that many drugs at that time in L.A.? Or who even influenced you to think that? Because, like, yo, you were really taking it to an extreme. Especially, I seen you in an interview telling some stories that were, like, scary.
Flipped out at gym.
Yeah, bro, that shit was scary.
Look, the set, but look. Yeah, Lil Wayne's my favorite rapper. I've been wanting to be like Wayne since I was a kid. Like, my mama would tell you, like, you feel me? So, it ain't that, but it's like, oh, what's in Wayne cup? What's that over there? You know what I'm saying? Then I start trapping. So now, I'm like, fuck it. I start popping thizzles. Mac Dre is my favorite West Coast rapper, though. Always been. I know every Mac Dre song, top to bottom. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was my guy.
A lot of LA people have no idea about that.
Yeah, but see, I've been going to the Bay buying pounds since I was like 15.
Wow.
I was catching the train up there, Amtrak.
Who taught you how to hustle, man? You had a lot of ambition that a lot of people don't have.
Well, my name is Brick Baby.
Yeah, I was going to ask how you got that name, too.
My first mixtape was Son of a Brick Lady. My mom had an indictment for 2 tons, and I think her indictment came out like 95 or some shit like that. But my whole family is hustlers. My dad been to the feds. Mom been to the feds. You know what I'm saying? Everybody did they, you know what I'm saying? I don't come from no gangbanging ass family. I come from like a hustling family. So, but my generation, they the generation right before gangbanging. That my generation, that's what's going on. Like they didn't ever keep me out the trenches, but we always had money. So I was always the popular kid with the fly shit. But I'm into all the bullshit. I'm at my grandma's house. 5 days out the week. You know what I'm saying? And she live in the trenches. There's 8 of us over there. You know what I'm saying? She done adopted all my little cousins and shit. You know, the crack, all my aunties and shit was fucking up at the time. You know, crack was heavy then. So that's what I was telling people.
It's tough to manage being a drug salesman as well as a drug addict at the same time.
Yeah. But you can't sell the drugs that you do.
Right.
Biggie Smalls told me that. Don't get high off your own supply.
I'm going to assume that you probably have broken that rule.
Well, only with weed, like, okay. Well, weed and lean. But I've never, like, if I'm selling lean, like, I have to have a lot of it. Or when I was selling drugs, I'm rapping now. But when I was, I got to have a lot of it. So when I was selling weed, I have enough. Like, I'll have buy my smoke sack, then I'll buy my re-up. You get what I'm saying? It's the only way you're going to make some money. And like, with the pills, like, and all that shit, I wasn't popping perks and shit and all that shit till later on. And then, but I really was, I was popping perk 30s when they was $4.
Wow.
You get what I'm saying? Like, I've been doing all the drugs, so I just like, you know, I know how to manage and steal, but it do fuck up your pockets. It do fuck up your pockets. But like, if I'm selling lean, I won't have no pounds of weed around. Or if I, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is what I'm doing, all right, I buy a smoke sack of this. If I'm selling pills, 10 of these is mine, and
right,
these thousand go this way.
Yeah, because I mean, you can sell it and do it, but you just have to have a lot of self control.
Yeah, you gotta have
about how much you're doing.
You gotta be moderate. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. That's just experimental. I like to.
Right. So you witnessed Well, I guess Thug started to blow up way before Pee Wee, right? Or who started to like gain steam career wise first?
Well, Thug was always our go to, so it was Thug. We was voting for Thug. So right. It's like, here, Gucci, we got Thug. I was in jail. Like, hey, look, Pee Wee met Gucci. See, we've been fucking with QCP before it was QC.
Oh, really?
Before he was even thinking about managing nobody. So, you know what I'm saying? Him, Pee Wee, we all was hanging and banging back then. And I went to jail 2012. And I did like 16 months. When I came home, it was NPA 10-17. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I come home, I'm with Gucci Man every day. I'm like, shit. You know what I'm saying? But we was voting for Thug. So Thug took off first, though. We was voting for Thug and Duke. Them was the rappers. You know what I'm saying? We was playing. Then Goo-Wop like, Pee-Wee, you need to take this shit serious. So Pee-Wee started stomping down. Then when we came home, that's when Goo-Wop lost it. So I didn't ever put out my project with Goo-Wop.
Oh, so you had a whole project with him?
No, I was going to have a team. You know how he introduced everybody and was putting everybody when I came home?
He put Dolph out.
Dolph. All of us was in the same little camp.
Right.
Chief Keef was down there. That's how I kind of met Dirk and them. I didn't meet him straight through Keef and them, but I met him through bands way back then. Like, we've been rocking ever since. Dirk, like you know what I'm saying, my Ace Bull Coon now, though.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy, though, just so that was that time period. Yeah, because, like, Gucci was making a lot of really dope music, 2013, 2014. Putting on a lot of artists. That's around the time that he like sort of co-signed Migos and all this shit. And at the same time, that's when he started to just really start doing too much, and he ended up locked up.
Yeah, man. Too many drugs at once. I mean, love can drive you that way. Drugs can drive you that way. It was a lot of all that.
Yeah. Do you have
any? I ain't gonna talk about that man business, but yeah.
But
yeah.
Do you have any regret when you think about that era? Because that's a lot of talent that kind of multiple people had their shit screwed up.
I wish I knew what I knew now, because I fuck all that verbal shit.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Not with Thug. That's my brother. But I was in Atlanta, so I'm in the hood. I'm hearing Rich Homie Quan before he came out. I'm hearing 21 Savage before he came out. I'm hearing. Like, right now, I'm on Slime Life Shawty. Like, look, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm on all the young niggas. Like, you know what I'm saying? I've been that person, like, bringing them out here. Like, I have Future. I turned L.A. on the Future. I was listening to Dirty Sprite 1 when it first came out, and I'm coming to the hood. Like, yeah, I just said, because, you know, I drink lead. So, and me and Future, that's my boy, too. I was with him, like, him and Scooter, the whole little Dirty Sprite 1, Streets Calling, all that shit. So I'm heavy in the culture. I bought them out here to do a song with Nip. And Nip, I ain't gonna say he didn't want to do a song with him. He takes longer to do music. So if it's a song, you would want to send it over. He's not the dude that you go to the studio and record with.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You go get the vibe with him, you can record your part there, but he's kind of like, let me write that. He a perfectionist.
Right.
So he's not going to be done with a song that session.
All this, like, makes so much sense, too, because I remember being, like, confused about, like, how is Brick Baby from L.A. when he don't really sound like he's not rapping? Like, you know, there's a lot of people who rap from L.A. that kind of get stuck in, like, a mold.
That has a certain sound. Sound like that Mustard YG wave.
You went to Atlanta and, like, got all these crazy-ass influences from a lot of the rappers who ended up being, like, the biggest rappers of that time, and then sort of, like, embedded that shit in your music.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's what, that was just us. We were in the living room. We had a studio in the closet. I came from nothing and all that shit. That's from the closet. Long Way, first couple projects, Son of a Brick Lady, that's all from 2424. That's our trap spot. We called that the lobby. That's where all that running around the lobby come from. That was the lobby. Rich the Kid was living there. The Migos was living there. Guapo was living there. That was like the whole A. Like, Thug was there every day. Everybody was there. That's where we all right, we going back and forth, folks. Shit. All right, going there. You know what I'm saying? We in the road, we high. It's 6 in the morning. YDG, wake your ass up. Come on. We going in there. You know what I'm saying? And that's how I learned how to rap. Guapo really taught me how. He like, look, bro, you got to rap like you talking to the crowd. Like, while you in the booth, act like you doing the show. So that's why a nigga jumping around, the energy be different. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's just like little tips like that. All them niggas taught me how to rap.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Damn, that's like so much talent in one place at one time.
Man.
Who
that's
really?
Like, we got like over 2 billion streams coming out that spot for sure.
For real.
For sure. Streaming wise, we probably went crazy.
It sounds like a fucking camp, but everybody's just making music.
I started the hood in Babyhood.
Really?
We was in Oakland City. I forgot when they shut down the projects over there, we went to Oakland City. when they shut down Jonesboro South, everybody moved to Oakland City. Uh-huh. Baby and them was right there. We had a spot right there, like, on the same block as nigga Baby and them manager, mama house, and all that shit. So I turned Oakland City into Little Cali.
Damn.
You get what I'm saying? That's the first wave. I didn't know Baby was really that young. I thought Cuz was my age.
Really?
Yeah, but that's why they was calling him Little Baby, because he was trapping like 14, 15, like how I was, but he was in it, though.
That must trip you out that you had seen him that long ago, and he was just doing his thing.
When he came home, me and Thug took Cuz shopping. We, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, he, like, was like the little nigga over there. Like, he loved one over there. That's like P little brother, though. That's like Big Nose P little brother.
Who did he say, though, that was paying him to stay out the streets and just stay in the studio? He was saying that about, I think,
who, Thug?
Baby was saying that at one point.
Yeah,
like that.
Thug was the first one to ask for millions out of our crew.
Mm.
So he kind of like was the comm switch for everybody. Like, nigga, this money right here, try to do this.
Who actually got in your ear, though, and like really made you believe that you had it to be an actual rapper yourself and to start working on putting that full project together and everything?
Hood Rich, Rip. Mm. Rip and Nate from Mixtape Kitchen. They like, man, do it. Like, you got something going, do it. And then my manager, he like, because Brodinski, I was fucking with Brodinski for a second, so Brodinski found out about me through like a Long Way project or something. It was way in Paris. Lil Debbie and my manager was way in Paris. You know, mm-hmm. Lil Debbie, that's my best friend. So
still?
Yeah, still my best friend.
Okay. And, interesting.
Yeah, she used to come visit me like twice a month. Uh-huh. Yeah, she stayed there. That's like a real bitch.
You guys were trapping together?
She said she a real bitch. That's
you can tell
bitch.
Me. You were trapping together?
Who? With Debbie?
Yeah.
Man, Debbie ain't trapping. Hell yeah. Nigga, she annoying to the motherfucker. She used to be driving while a nigga doing this shit. Yep.
Oh,
up and
okay.
down for the bay.
Wow. That's
yeah,
good.
Man,
that's
she
good
ain't enough. Trapping shit. She's ready to cuss a nigga out. I got too many people around.
Right. Because, all right, the weird thing about our connection is that before I even knew who you were, there was a girl that I was friends with, and I used to be buying drugs off of her, number one, and just kicking with her a little bit. I never was messing with her like that or nothing, but she would be telling me about this crazy-ass boyfriend that she had.
Yeah.
And then, she said the name a few times, but then I start seeing the name popping up on, like, you know, YouTube or like, friends even. I'm good. Friends just telling me about, like, oh, yo, you got to fuck with this dude, Brick Baby. And then I realize you're the crazy-ass boyfriend that is driving my drug dealer insane.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy fuck, that's a small world right there.
Hell yeah. So that's a crazy ass story, bro. So
She was friends with Lil Debbie too, so it all links together.
We was all living together when I got out. The Gucci, right around this whole time, what I'm telling you, you know what I'm saying? I got out and I got to some shit, like a shootout somewhere where I was living. And I'm like, man, you know, I'm fresh out. So I'm hustling, but I'm like, look, I'm fucking around Debbie, that's my girl, like my homegirl. We kind of like was fucking around, but you know what I'm saying? I'm like, look, bro, I just popped it up in front of mom's house. I gotta go lay low. She like, come over here, bring all your clothes over here. You stay over here.
Uh-huh.
So like I started off over there, and then her roommate, you know what I'm saying, was keep on peeking out the door. So you know me, I go with my animal senses. I start sensing some shit going on. So it's funny because Debbie used to have like her little dudes come, and I used to be like, man, do your thing. I'm going to go sleep in the other room.
Uh-huh.
I used to go sleep in Taylor's room.
Uh-huh.
So I was sleeping in that other room, and then, like, you know, sleeping turned into waking up. Like this, you know.
For sure.
You know.
Are you the kind of guy where if you start dating a girl, there's a pretty good chance that you're going to turn her apartment into a bando?
For sure. 100%.
I didn't know if he was going to admit it, you know?
100 fucking percent. Take your whole house and we trapped it out. Yeah. Understand? But yeah, I'm going to that motherfucker and it's mine after that. Because I'm really, I'm any female that I fuck with, I fuck with so many elite niggas just, or people, let me stop dropping the N-bomb. But I fuck with so many elite people that naturally we was in the trap together and all that shit, that any girl I fuck with, I'm turning your status up by even having you around when I'm around these people. Like you wasn't fucking rappers and basketball players when you was fucking me, bitch. Like, come on, man. They see you, and then as soon as I dropped you, you got everybody from A to B, covered in your, this the type of lifestyle you got now. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm going to take care of you, dude. You know what I'm saying? So, whatever I got going on, if I'm, yeah, this is the band, though. Mm. And you know what I'm saying? If you got a problem with that, then shit, bitch, I'm gone.
Yo, but is that a crazy position for you to be in where you're around all these, like, dudes who are, like, rich on paper? You know, they got fucking money in the bank and shit because they're in the NBA or because they're selling records or whatever. But then, meanwhile, you're kind of, like, purely, like, street connect at that time.
Yeah. It's weird. And then, like, it's hard to keep your head, like, with certain people that you know, like, when you was broke, nigga, I was buying you burgers and all that, like, then you own, then I see you, and then it's like, oh. Like, you know what type of shit I was doing for you, so now you own, like you just know, you make 10 times more than I was making at that time. Mm. So you looking at it as I was feeding you crumbs, like, I had $100,000. You got $2 million. So the type of presence is going to be different, but the same dude that was giving you $5,000 to get back on in, like, you supposed to look back out. But if you ain't thinking like that, fuck it. Mm. So it's hard to keep your head because I'm really from that. Like, the 60s, you know what we do. Mm. You've been living in L.A. Anytime something come up missing, nigga, they blaming us. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So you know how we coming, and you know how we coming with the rappers.
Right.
So it's like, damn, I fuck with you, but now you starting to look like food. You feel what I'm saying?
Because that was always my perspective on your shit back in the day. Is like, how the fuck does he have Thug and Dirk and all these different features? I was like, he has to either be like really, really tapped in on some street shit, or he's really, really providing the substances that people are needing.
That you always got to keep the best drugs. That's first and foremost. If you trap it, if you rapping and trapping, keep the best drugs. Keep what's in demand. It don't matter how much that shit costs, man. Spend your money on it because it's going to start your relationships with a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm out that game now.
If you got the designer drugs, the shit people really want.
You
got
to
have a designer.
You got to have Teslas, Perk 30s, Perk 10s, and my cart right now. You know what I'm saying? It's some Metro Bloomin', like, to get the door. You know what I'm saying? Like, because now they calling you when they touch down. But now, you know what I'm saying? Like, but you know, we put a whole nother game down, and I did put demos down in both states. So, you know, L.A. the hub for over here and Atlanta the hub for over there. So a motherfucker come to me when they get up like, hey, man, I need to, you know what I'm saying? Mm. Motherfucker trying to make sure they straight. They got $300,000, $400,000 worth of jewelry on ride through this motherfucker, and they know this is a no-fly zone. Mm. So it ain't not dirking them. Like, people that's really from the trenches, I'm going to tell you how we play, boy. You really from the trenches and you showing love? Because we not going to get on your ass. You get what I'm saying? Because you got it like how we got it. It's these pretending ass niggas. You get nervous every time you're around a real nigga and all that shit. We own you. Mm. We smell that. You feel me? We sense that from a mile away. We going to play. If you pay, shit, then you got to pass. But, nigga, you not getting up out of here without doing nothing for the set. Because you don't have a hood that you taking care of. You're not from the hood. Mm. So you gonna do something? You get what I'm saying?
Okay, guys, so hopefully you enjoyed that. If you did and you want to keep listening, head on over to our Patreon and support us. Give us that $10 a month and you can listen to the whole thing on this very app or through the Patreon app, or you can head on over to youtube.com/nojumper and listen to the whole thing for free with ads or without ads if you sign up for YouTube Plus. And yeah, appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you once again for all the support.